Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And my name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start the meeting off this morning, Sam, do you want to share?
Hi, I'm Sam and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi Sam.
When I came into the rooms, I felt that I didn't belong. To me, an alcoholic was someone who sat on a park bench with a brown paper bag and scraggly clothes, similar to the guy that's on the Jethro Tull album. It all started when I phoned a friend and cried that I couldn't take it anymore. I have a strong will, however, I couldn't succumb to giving up my new friend. She suggested rehab or going to meetings. I chose the latter. I had tried everything, psychiatrists, self-help books, anti-addiction tablets, but nothing worked. I kept going to meetings, but never identified with any of their stories. I started to question why I drank. Was it because my father was an abusive drunk? Was it because my best friend committed suicide when I was 14? Was it because I had been abused by two of my parents' friends and they had done nothing? Was it because I was gang raped by my boyfriend and his friends at 15? Of course, I didn't tell my parents because they hadn't done nothing before. Was it because my boyfriend at 19 abused my sister who was 11? Was it because I had been hijacked? Or was it because my husband walked out after 22 years? Then one day this man shared and he told my story. He too drank like me. Every day, I didn't drink every day, but I did drink to blackout. I could never have one drink, and when it was finished, I'd go around the house looking for anything else that I could drink. I would wake up in the morning and promise myself that I would have two glasses, but I could never do it. I'd started drinking at 18, and it progressed into a savage, cunning beast. It took me two foolish years before I found a sponsor, and once I started the 12 steps, I wish I had started sooner. What a revelation it was for me to relinquish all the terror, anguish, and self-doubt. I discovered that it wasn't the alcohol that was my problem. I was the problem. My step four made me realize my part and how it affected all around me. The nights when I passed out in the car and no one knew where I was. The time I passed out in a dog kennel and no one could find me. How humiliating it must have been for my family and friends. I don't know how many phone calls I had to make to apologize for the things I had done. And through this process, I had a God of my understanding guiding me through it all. Did I know this? Not at this stage. Step nine was surprising, as I didn't expect the responses I'd received, even though I had been dreading it. Today, 10.5 years later, I'm grateful for each day I have been sober. I've learned in the rooms that I had to go through events of my life in order to empathize with others. Doing service is good for me and others. Life has not been easy in sobriety, but what I have seen is this. There is a power greater than ourselves, that it takes over once I surrender, and that the miracles are happening every time an addict admits to themselves that they are powerless and starts following the program. We have been given the hand of AA to overcome our alcoholism, and all we have to do is surrender our will to a power greater than ourselves and to know we need to drink. We don't need to drink for one day at a time.
Thanks, Sam. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share is Stella. What would you like to share?
Hi, my name's Stella and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Stella.
Hi, Stella.
Gosh, another beautiful day in paradise. I start by saying that because, you know, 9 months, I'll be coming up 9 months in about a week, and 9 months ago I definitely would have been saying that. If I'm sharing on my experience, strength and hope, my drinking was a slow escalation. You know, my first drink wasn't my first drunk, and I definitely enjoyed drinking for a small amount of time. You know, in my teens growing up, I didn't start until I was about 18, and I really enjoyed it with my friends. But when I look back now, in hindsight, I had all the isms. I wanted connection. I wanted to build long-standing relationships, and the only way that I felt I could do that and felt I could fit in with this, you know, boost of confidence was by drinking. It was like this new power. That sense of connection, fitting in. So for a long time, that's how it was. But you know, the isms of desperation, despair, trying to hide from the reality of my life was all there. So I carried on my drinking experience, and you know, I ended up with a serious alcoholic problem while my friends were all moving on into, you know, starting with a career, starting families. I was stuck in this space of which, you know, my early 20s, I carried that on until my 30s, until about 2 years ago. I hit rock bottom. I was with my son, I was working full-time in a management position, but I was really only existing, you know. I was a solo mum, but I was a vacant mother to my son. I was drinking heavily every day. I was drinking in the mornings, I was drinking at 2 a.m. when I would wake up from... I wasn't sleeping, I was literally passing out. You know, I would drink before... to get up in the mornings, to get my son ready for school, to do the daycare run. I would be drinking on the way to drop my son to school, and then go to work. And the slow progression of that is that I lost my job, I lost my house, I lost care of my son, and I hit the rock bottom, and I had to get... I went into a rehab at that point, and that was 30 days. And I came out kicking and screaming, you know. That's where I first got my taste of a higher power. I got given my first 12 by 12. I got given my first daily reflection. I started doing the steps with a temporary sponsor. And when the 30 days came for me to finish this treatment program in Auckland, I came out kicking and screaming. I was like punching, going, here we go, world. I'm ready to tackle you. But I didn't carry on with the things which I carry on now, which I've been doing for 9 months, and that was I get out, I roll out of bed in the mornings, you know, with exuberance and love for life, and I get down straight onto my knees and I pray. And I pray, I sit there with my daily reflections and I pray to my God, my higher power, on the daily reflections for that day, and I just humbly ask that I can carry the message to a still suffering addict or alcoholic, or just pray for the will to carry the message. I struggled, so that was 2 years ago. So I then carried on back into alcoholism. I picked up where I left off, and once again, it was worse. It is always worse. I truly believe that. And I went into a treatment centre for 4.5 months, and that treatment centre has given me the foundations for the rest of my life to live the AA way, which is the 12-step program. I am on to step 4 at the moment. You know, I have trust these days. Trust has been a really big thing for me with my sponsor. I held her at arm's length for about 4 months. I knew I wanted my sponsor. I knew I wanted to start the steps. I knew I wanted to get vulnerable. But I just didn't know how. I wasn't quite ready. And my sponsor, you know, she was really gentle with me. And I've started working the steps. And it's just, I'm on to step four and I'm on to doing fear at the moment. And that's, you know, that's another part of trust that I've got, that this fellowship, having a higher power, has given me that freedom to be vulnerable. The freedom to share my dreams and aspirations. I've been so scared for my whole life, admitting that I want a career, that I have dreams for me, and, you know, most importantly for my son. And it's just such an amazing freeing aspect now. So I have a home group, I have a sponsor, I'm building relationships with women. You know, I heard in the rooms when I first came in here, it was woman for woman and men for men. It's taken me a long time. This fellowship has given me the freedom and the trust to build relationships with women, which is what I didn't have. You know, I was told when I was in treatment, men will tell you what you want to hear, women will tell you what you need to hear. And for someone like myself, a young woman at 30 who really relied on other people for a sense of worth, hearing that really brought it home. And it's true, I'm building strong relationships with women in recovery, and it is a really magical thing. I wake up today and I dance when I'm happy. You know, I dance walking down the street, and that's when I know that I am travelling well, and that is due to my higher power. I don't just pray to my higher power in need. That's what I did a lot of my alcoholism. I prayed, you know, if you help me get through this, I will never drink again. And these days I pray when I'm happy to my higher power. I say thank you, because I am so grateful to have a higher power in my life. I'm now I'm not an absent mother for my son, and I am there to give my son the most precious thing, which is what I took away from him, and that was time. My son has his everything when he is with me these days, and it is such a joy. I am so grateful to be able to just, you know, have the little moments with my son. The other day we were walking to a meeting, and he was balancing on this pole, and he reached out for me to hold him for balance and stability. And I thought, you know, how amazing in that. And I thought about it, is that now my son has me for the rest of his life as balance and stability to look up to and to hold on to. That is something that has been given to me from this program. You know, I can be there for my son for the rest of his life. Another gift, as well as being a mother to my son, is that I can be a daughter these days. I took a lot, you know, the ripple effect from being an alcoholic, one of the isms, you know, that travels on into my family and my friends. My mother came up to visit me the other day, and she took me out shopping. And she said to me, you know, it's such a joy, and I'm so pleased that you're around for me to buy and to shop for. And that really hit me for a six when I was doing a reflection that night. I just thought, you know, that's, my mum was terrified that I wasn't going to be around for her. And when she, you know, she was so proud and pleased that she could take me out shopping and that I was going to be around. So that really hit home. So it's all those little gifts of recovery, gifts of being alive, and gifts of this 12-step program. So thanks for having me today.
Thanks, Stella. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in sharing our experience, strength and hope about our journey of recovery from alcoholism. And Stella's sharing, she talked about the steps and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and our big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. We have a chapter dedicated to the steps, and it's entitled How It Works, and I thought I'd read a little bit of that now. It goes as follows. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do not recover unless they have the capacity to be honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was null until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, and powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God, and may you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing, and we stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. You know, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, and the principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic and the chapter to the agnostic and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he was sought. That's an extract out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous outlining the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12-step recovery program. We'll have another speaker now, and our next speaker for today is Holly. Would you like to share?
Hi, I'm Holly. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Holly.
Hi. So what a journey. This whole journey that I've been on has been amazing. It's been everything all in one. It's been horrible. It's been amazing. It's been hard work. It's taken a lot of strength and courage to get to where I am. And I'm only about 10 months clean. And if I think back to where I was 10 months ago, I was in such a horrible place. I was a full-blown alcoholic, drinking every day, drowning myself in alcohol as much as I could. I had surrounded myself with alcoholics. I didn't have a will to live. I didn't want to live. I'd lost my job. I'd thrown my marriage away for alcohol. I was losing some of my best and good friends. I pretty much lost them. I was still trying to hang on to them, but they'd gone. I was losing my family. I was losing everything. But the main thing that, I was losing was me. And at that time, I wanted to lose me. I didn't want to be me. I hated me. And I think I got to a point where it would have been this time last year that I ended up trying to take my own life. And this wasn't for the first time. This was for maybe the fourth time. And I woke up in the hospital and I had had enough. I'd woken up and I'd had enough of trying to take my life, and it wasn't working. So I obviously wasn't very good at it, because it just wasn't working, and I had had enough of that. And that is where rock bottom sort of hit me, and I thought, I've got to change. Like, this can't be life. Is this all that life is about? Because I've had enough of it. And that's when I made the decision to actually ask for help and go to a rehab. And I dedicated the last 10 months to recovery and to AA and to trying to help myself. And this was the only way that I thought that I could actually maybe want to live when I wake up in the morning. And the last 10 months has been, quite a journey. I've learned so much about myself. I've learned so much about other people. I've lost friends, and I've also gained friends. It's been so hard, though. It has been really hard. And if I think about it, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. And if it was, it's hard. It is hard. And I suppose that's where the greatest lesson is that when things are hard, that's where the growth comes from. We learn who we are, we learn how we deal with things, and we learn to be better people. Well, I've learned to be a better person, that's for sure. I've learned in time that being grateful is one of the most important things of life. If you're not grateful, you're not living your true authentic life that you're meant to be living. And when I was in full-blown addiction, I wasn't grateful for anything. I was taking everything for granted. I was not grateful at all. And now that I'm about 10 months clean or so, I am so grateful for everything I have. I'm grateful for even just the warm bed that I sleep in, a roof over my head, food. I'm grateful for those small things in life that actually matter. Those are the things that give me courage and hope to continue on. And those are the things that actually give me happiness too. I've realised that being grateful is the essence of life for me. That's what makes me want to live in the morning. I wake up and I don't have to have a drink anymore. I'm able to accept who I am and sit with my emotions. And I'm actually grateful for that as well. Being grateful is such a great part of my life that I'm quite happy to be where I am. And to hear me speak today and to talk about how grateful I am is a completely different turnaround to what I was and who I was. And who I was a person absolutely possessed by alcohol. I wasn't living my true, authentic life that I should have been living. And now that I'm clean and sober, I'm actually starting to realise who I am. It's like when I was drinking, I was outside of my body and I was watching me do those things. But as time goes on and the more cleaner I get, I feel like I'm slowly coming back into my body and learning new things about myself, it's amazing. It's amazing to wake up and have a clear head, to have a clear direction. It is absolutely amazing. I never thought I could actually get to that stage. So I'm happy, and it's amazing to say that I'm happy as well, because I never thought I would hear the day that I'd say I'd be happy. Today I was thinking about just all the small things in life, like at work, people irritating me and things like that. And now I react in such a different way. I act in such a different way to the situation. I don't react. I actually take it in and I bring it towards myself. I focus in on me and I ask myself a question about why is this person irritating me and why is this person stirring those emotions up in me. So I'm able to be mindful of my situations now as well, which before I never was able to do that. And being mindful in all these different situations is quite powerful in its own. And I'm just in a position right now where I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be where I am. I'm grateful to be clean. And I can't wait to know what's around the corner. I can't wait to do more recovery. I love going to meetings. I love meeting people in recovery. It's such an amazing thing. And I feel so lucky that I've found this. And I just hope that everyone else can find this happiness, because it is there. It definitely is. You just have to put your trust within your higher power, or just put your trust towards something you believe in. Having that faith is something that it's such a crazy, miraculous thing, that if you can have some faith, you never know what's around the corner. And that's the most exciting thing about this journey. You never know what's going to happen, and it's just amazing. It's hard, but it's all worth it. It is all definitely worth it in the end.
Thank you, Holly. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous, and we've had members of our fellowship in sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And, you know, that's what we do at Alcoholics Anonymous. We come together as a group and we share our stories. And I guess that's how I found my recovery, is by coming to meetings reluctantly at times and not wanting to be there and wanting to be there all at the same time. But I knew something wasn't right with my drinking, and, you know, I wanted to do something about it. And I sat there and feeling very awkward. But I did listen to people tell their stories, and I identified with some of them. A lot of them I didn't. Some of them I did. And I guess that encouraged me to keep coming back, because at that time I felt like I was the only one who was trying to do this. I was the only one that had a problem with my drinking, and I had internalized everything and tried to project, you know, that everything was fine on the outside but falling apart on the inside. So I felt like I was the only one doing that. And when I arrived at Alcoholics Anonymous, it was, you know, I was completely broken but full of bravado and ego and pride. And but the stories kept coming, bringing me back, and that was really important in the beginning. It wasn't about everything else that we've talked about in the steps and the recovery program. I was very scared of that. But I came back on the strength of the stories of people and the identification with what they were talking about. Because there were some people I recognised there that had something about them. And you don't see that until you come to a meeting. There were some people who, there was just something about them. They seemed to have themselves sorted. And I knew they were telling the truth. And that encouraged me to keep coming back. So I hope you've identified, if you have a problem with your drinking and you've identified with our speakers today and you'd like to do something about your drinking, there's a couple of things that you can do. You can log on to aa.org.nz and under the box Meetings Now, in that box there, you'll find a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. Or you can phone 0800 AA Works. And this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. And that 0800 number works up and down the country. We'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. And we'll close our meeting now with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.